Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard flight 2998 bound for Atlanta, Georgia, with continued service to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. All carry-on items should now be stowed securely, either in an overhead bin or under the seat in front of you. All aisles, exits, and overhead areas should now be clear. All electronic devices should not be turned off and stowed, as they may interfere with the aircraft's navigational and communication systems.
What you just heard is an accurate soundbite. That's right. Now, in the name of emotional support animals, they're allowing horses on passenger airplanes.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hands off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry. Get into bed now.
In the interest of full disclosure, I must reveal right now that I have an emotional support animal. Regular listeners are familiar with him. His name is Moose. He's mostly French poodle, with something else in there that makes him whip smart and a little nasty. Mutts are usually smarter dogs. And when I feel gloomy or sad or just need a pick-me-up, Moose is always ready to render aid. And he does that with amazing results. I would love to take Moose with me on airplanes. He's only 16 or 17 pounds. But Moose is not trained like a legit service animal. He can sometimes get nervous. He might take a dump or a leak. He hates all men other than yours truly. He might look at the guy in the next seat and decide to bark at him for several hours. So as much as I'd like Moose with me on a plane for my emotional support, I don't bring him. Might be a hassle for me and annoying to other passengers. But if I wanted, I suppose I could tie one of those little yellow service dog capes around him and put on my best boo-boo face and take him aboard and fuck everybody else. But I don't. Flying has become a demeaning, uncomfortable, undignified, and often humiliating form of travel, thanks to the unholy and grotesque alliance between the airlines and the U.S. government. For decades, the airline lobbyists have sucked the dicks of American politicians, persuading them to write laws that enable airlines to fuck us over. Finally, 9/11 gave the airlines exactly what they always wanted: total hegemony over an industry that is not regulated but rigged for their rapacious profits and our misery. Total control for them with zero accountability, all in the name of safety. Safety should be listed in the thesaurus as the antonym of freedom. Watch the verbiage. Always watch the verbiage. Have you ever heard an airline refer to you or any other traveler as a customer? No, and you never will. They call us passengers. If you decide to give an acquaintance a ride in your car, that's a passenger. You drive them at your pleasure and can throw them out of your car where and whenever you choose. Why don't airlines call us customers? Because that's a very different word, isn't it? A customer is kind of calling the shots in most commerce relationships, aren't they? You want my business, my money? Well, I expect a certain level of quality and service. You don't deliver that? I go to your competitor. It's a system. It's called capitalism, and it works pretty good. It's why most products just keep getting better and better. Everything from toothpaste to cell phones to automobiles. There was a time when air travel kept improving too. But then government got involved. Not on the customer's behalf, but on the airline's behalf. And look at the shit show it's become. Anytime I need to get someplace that's 500 miles or less, I'll drive. Not only is it more economical and pleasant, it's usually faster. Well, the drive to the airport is an hour minimum, then find parking, that's a half hour. another 45 minutes for the security clown show, and that does not make you one bit safer. And then planes rarely leave on time, so factor in a half hour sitting waiting for a runway. Then say it's a 500-mile trip. That's about an hour in the air. You land, always a delay waiting for the gate, another half hour. If you have checked luggage, another minimum half hour. Call the Uber, wait for the Uber, drive to the hotel, figure another hour for that noise. So time-wise, it's a wash or usually faster to drive. And you don't have to sit in a sealed germ tube with screaming kids, flu-infected sneezers, and a fucking horse. And you don't have to put up with the TSA bullshit either. They've gotten out of control with their body scanning. Last time I flew, the uniformed authority figure asked me if my pockets were empty as I stood in that glass booth with hands over my head like a goddamn hostage. Is that necessary? Or is it just more of the "where are your papers" attitude of government overreach that Americans have come to accept? So I'm standing there, getting blasted by radiation, and I tell him my pockets are empty. Then he says, "Don't you lie to me." And I say, "What?" And he says, "You got something in your pocket, pal." Ooh. And I say, "Hey, we're not pals. And who are you calling a liar?" Now I see another uniformed goon get closer. Another authority figure eager to exert some authority. And the first Phi Beta Kappa points to my pocket and says, "What you got in there?" And I reach in, and there's a receipt. A cash register receipt from the coffee place I was at earlier. A slip of paper measuring what, maybe an inch and a half wide by 3 inches long. And this fucktard mistook that for what? AR-15? Maybe a Colt Python? How about a Desert Eagle? Did I want to make an issue out of it? You bet your eyeballs. But I needed to get on that plane even more. So I said nothing more and moved along. And that is how freedom evaporates. When we grant government workers absolute power, usually in the name of safety. Safety is the most dangerous word in the language. I did an entire episode on the myth of safety. It was number 87, Give Me Danger. That's in the May 2018 archive. Has one of my favorite thumbnails, too. You might like it. So that TSA tableau happens hundreds, if not thousands, of times every day in airports across this country. People putting up with abuse and harassment and paying for it. And you know, that scene is exactly what those screaming for single-payer healthcare need to experience again and again until they understand it. See, first thing commies do is obfuscate their goal with deceptive language. Some people do know just how awful government-run healthcare can be, like veterans. Ask those guys. Many voters who have flown commercially or visited DMV or are veterans would say hell no to something called government health care. So the lying weasel politicians call it single-payer health care. And your average mouth breather says, "Well, hell yeah, as long as I ain't the single payer, sign me up." That smokescreen deceptive name could not be farther from the truth, huh? It's everyone payer healthcare except you get no choice. Zero. Don't like the doctor? Don't like the service? Tough shit. Competition has been outlawed. Kumbaya fucking ya. Once there's only one supplier and no competition, the consumer slash citizen slash patient is fucked. Every interaction with a doctor or nurse will mirror that with the TSA or DMV. And for those who think they are safer and gleefully, proudly put their arms above their heads to get zapped by those machines, they need to understand something. Dozens of random people have access to those planes. People who go through no security checks whatsoever. Mechanics, fuelers, baggage handlers, the guys who load the robot shit meals and sodas and beer and liquor. People that clean the planes, a rare occurrence, but it still happens. Those guys could hide any fucking thing they want on those planes for retrieval by a Confederate. Or maybe it just ticks away until it goes kaboom. Taking off our shoes and putting our laptops outside the bag makes us just about as safe as crossing our fingers. So why should the many bend to the will of the few? Well, that's our new culture, isn't it? The new American zeitgeist. Call me by the pronoun I command you to use. Build me a special bathroom. Make me a special meal. Call me a justice-involved person, not a convict. And now, I feel anxious.
So I'm bringing my horsey on the plane.
How many times have you sat in a crowded plane, and they're always jammed, and the flight attendant tells you to get that purse or backpack at your feet stuffed under the seat in front, or put in the overhead bin? Couple reasons for that. One, if everyone had to exit the plane in a hurry, say it's on fire with a smoke-filled cabin, do we want to trip on that handbag on the floor? And second reason is, when there's a precipitous drop in altitude, that loose bag will be up on the ceiling in an instant. And when the air smooths out, might come down on anyone's head, might even sock you in the face on its way up. But for all their alleged safety concerns, airlines don't seem to care a whole lot about infants. Can't put them under the seat or in the overhead bin. So they tell mommy and daddy, hey, just hold Junior there on your lap. Well, good luck with that when the plane drops 1,000 feet in 3 seconds. What they'd really like you to do is pay for another seat and then strap your kid's car seat into that. Well, why don't they just modify a few seats in planes to work like infant car seats? Well, that would cost money. So to hell with that kid. To hell with your kid. Speaking of seats, did you know there is no government limit on the number of seats an airline can bolt into a plane? None whatsoever. That's why they keep making seats smaller. If they want to, they could screw them to the ceiling and have you sit upside down. Kind of surprised Spirit Air hasn't already done that. And then charge you extra for a napkin when you drool up your own nose. But back to Horsey on the plane. By the way, the horsey's name is
Flirty. Isn't that cute? Hi. Meet Flirty.
I've been riding horses all my life. Haven't seen one yet that was house or plane broken. When they want to drop a deuce or take a leak, they let go wherever they are. I didn't see a diaper on Flirty, and by the way, I'll post pictures of Flirty on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. There's no way to buckle a horse in. So when that turbulence hits, he's going to fly around that cabin, same as a loose bag or a loose baby. Now, Flirty is a miniature horse, and they run anywhere from 150 to 350 pounds. I would guesstimate that Flirty was in the 250-pound range. Do you think you would survive a 250-pound animal landing on your head? What happens in an emergency situation? Will Flirty the horsey follow the floor lights to the hatch and jump onto the exit slide? And if he can't manage the slide, will he politely step aside so others can leave the plane? And if he stands there confused, who's going to pick up a 250-pound animal and move him aside? In the event of a water landing, can Flirty put on a flotation vest? And if it fails to inflate when he pulls the tab, how's he going to get those horse lips around that inflation tube? Flirty's head is about 2 feet long. If cabin pressure is lost and those orange air masks drop from the ceiling, how's that elastic band going to fit around a head the size of a conga drum? What about Flirty's comfort and safety and emotional state? Horses have feelings too. How much does he enjoy sitting, all 250 pounds of him, for several hours in a space that was not built to accommodate anything bigger than 6 human shins and feet? Wonder what PETA's take on this would be. What about the other passengers? Lots of people are allergic to horses. Were they all informed in advance they'd be sharing space with an equine beast so they could make other travel arrangements? What about the emotional well-being of the other passengers? Did Flirty's presence cause them to have anxiety, wondering if and when he would take a shit and stink up the cabin? Or maybe wig out and gallop around the place? Horses can get nasty, too. A friend of mine had his ear bitten off by a horse. Another guy I knew had his kidney kicked out. They are extremely powerful animals, even little ones. So do any of those things matter? Or are we all supposed to accommodate and kowtow to the special demands of Flirty's owner? You know, it's possible someone out there in podcast land is gnashing their teeth, thinking, Larry, you heartless, ableist bastard, you can't possibly relate to a person like Flirty's owner. As I said earlier, I do get immense emotional support from Moose. But I have a friend I'm going to introduce you to in a moment. He's a fellow podcaster. This podcasting world is a strange and wondrous place, and along this journey I've made a number of friends who do marvelous shows like Darren O'Neill of RandomThoughts.com, and this next dude, he calls himself Crippled Jesus, and his show is The Cripplecast. I highly recommend it. And Crippled Jesus is, in fact, a paraplegic. His legs do not work. He is authentically wheelchair-bound. And he's a hell of a dude who's very entertaining. So if anybody has the authority to speak to the issue of horses on planes, he does. So folks, here he is.
This is Crippled Jesus. I am calling in to that Larry show, because Larry wanted to get my take on these things called emotional support horses. Now, Larry, before I get into my opinion on that, I just want to say that I love your show so much that I sat down and I read a Vox article on emotional support horses. So if that doesn't tell you how much I love your show, I don't know what will. But as far as emotional support horses go, I feel like this is a way of, you know, when people need attention, people like this need attention. And the first thing I thought of when I saw this headline was, every now and then they'll create a new gender, because now just being gay or whatever isn't enough. You don't get attention for that anymore, because who cares? And this is exactly what it felt like to me. It's people who, dogs, emotional support dogs, aren't enough for them. So I'm going to get a horse. And then secondly, I struggle to figure out how emotional support comes with a horse. I don't know if you know anything about horses, but they're usually dumb and aggressive, and you can train them well, sure, but that takes a long ass time. It's not like a dog where you can just yell at it, like, don't do that, and then it'll stop. But really, the beauty in all of this, actually, I'm in favor of this, as retarded as it is, because it shows how dumb the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security is. I can't have a fucking bottle of water, but I can bring an aggressive live animal onto a plane because I have an anxiety problem. That's how fucking useless those TSA shitbags are. And I hate those guys, and all they do is profile me. And the last message I want to say about this whole thing is to the TSA agents, if you're going to take me to a secret room and grope on me, at least buy me dinner first. This has been Cripple Jesus with this hot take on emotional support horses.
Thank you, Cripple Jesus. By the way, I find this guy to be an inspiration. He is a take-no-shit guy. He takes no shit from others or from life. Where plenty of ambulatory dudes cave under pressure, Cripple Jesus soldiers on like fucking Hannibal. The guy coaches football. He's a professional poker player. And he's a kick-ass podcaster. So where does this end? Will planes begin to resemble Noah's Ark? How about a fucking barnyard? What are the criteria for determining if someone gets to bring a horse onto a plane? You can't take a dog over 20 pounds. And that's because the dog and the dog case must fit under the seat or in that overhead bin. Which is another reason I don't fly with Moose. Nobody's sticking my little buddy under some slob's ass cushion for several hours of fart inhalation. Or in that overhead bin. That didn't work out so well for a certain puppy a while back. The flight attendant told the owner to put that dog in the overhead bin. And so they did. And the puppy barked and clawed inside that dark, cramped, airless box for over 2 hours. Until he died. I went off on that debacle in episode 76. You'll find that in the March 2018 tab at thatlarryshow.com. I did another show about the elderly doctor who had the shit beat out of him on a plane because he refused to give up his seat. Now, if it sounds like airlines suck, it's because they do. And they suck because the government has rigged the rules to leave the customers powerless. And it all begins before you even set foot on their shitty planes with some groping and zapping at that so-called security checkpoint. Only a few years ago, if you missed a flight or needed to change a reservation, it was, hey, no problem, can do, with like a $25 fee. Now you basically have to pay for a new ticket. And it's all perfectly legal. Imagine if you bought a toaster oven from Amazon and you didn't like it. Maybe it didn't work or wouldn't fit under your kitchen cabinet. And Jeff Bezos said, oh, you don't like it? Well, fuck off. Or I'll sell you another one for double the price. And say there was no Target or Kmart anywhere else to buy a toaster oven because the government had divvied up the toaster oven territory. That's how airlines operate. On the fuck you business model. Personally, I think this horse shit with Flirty was a little PR bonanza for American Airlines.
Look at his virtue signal. Are we nice? We let horsies fly. Let's all take some selfies with Flirty. Aren't we cute?
But fuck you and your dog if he's over 20 pounds and you don't have a note from your shrink saying that you are special. And you need his emotional support. Stick your dog in the hold with the luggage. And if he dies, which they do all the time, tough shit. Hey, thanks for being with me. It's always great to be with you. I just posted a bonus episode, you'll dig, about my date with one supermodel, two cops and nine zombies. It's got bromance, comedy, and hyperviolence all in the same evening at the same restaurant. That true tale is yours to enjoy at patreon.com/thatlarryshow, where there are dozens of other episodes only for Patreon members. A special thanks to all those wonderful Patreonies who helped me keep the lights on here, and to Cripple Jesus for his very insightful commentary. I sincerely hope people have had a bellyful of this nonsense and that it backfires on the airlines. So if you have a crocodile or a hippo, maybe a tiger or a giraffe that helps you make it through the night or even life itself, I urge you to bring that emotional service animal along on your next flight. And don't take no for an answer, because the precedent has been set, hasn't it? I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.